Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
This episode is actually our final episode. Donald and I are going to be retiring, Take the Red Pill, this fun project that we've been doing over the last 3 years. So as we go into this episode, what we're going to do is we're going to actually kind of talk about just spirituality for Donald and me, just as a general subject and a general topic. And before we move into that, we're actually going to give you guys a little bit of background on where we're going and what we're doing and just kind of what the impetus to wrapping this whole project up was. So Donald, I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to you for that.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, I think if we counted up and be, you know, very specific, it's been about 3.5 years. I think we had an extra 6 months that we added on from there.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but I've been getting into stand-up comedy and sketch writing and comedy writing, and I hooked up with one of my friends from way back, you know, like 15 years ago. We started this project called Happy News Time that is kind of like a voice acting, sketch comedy, fun time thing. That's pulling a lot of my attention there. I'm also doing a lot of law of attraction type stuff with meetings around the local area, and there's a lot of those activities that are taking up more of my time and more of my time over the past, I think, what is it, year and a half or so. And it's been like, but we got to make time for Take the Red Pill, and it's like, yes, we will, and we did, and we have. So I think you've having similar situation too. So what's going on with you?
Well, actually, do you want to tell them about where they can find more information on Happy News Time?
Ah, yeah. You can go to YouTube, but probably the best way to do it is to just go to my personal website at dondalton.com. I think we're going to have a lot of episodes that, you know, if you haven't been able to find them on iTunes, or you just want to look at them again, I'll be hosting those there as well. If you want to see what I've been doing and, you know, get a hold of some of the episodes that you may have missed from Take the Red Pill, that dondalton.com is probably going to be your best bet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We are going to be relocating that website. We're going to be moving it off of the current host, and then it's going to be picked up over there. So just kind of a heads up for those of you who, well, I guess if you want to continue to grab, like Donald said, if you want to continue to grab episodes that you've not had a chance to listen to, they're still going to be available. So I'm just letting you know to head over there. And that will be in the show notes for this episode. So grab them while they're hot.
So what's been going on with you? What's been taking up your attention lately?
Well, the biggest thing that I've got going on is for work. I am currently studying to earn certifications in MCSA and MCSE. Actually, three certifications: MCSA, and then a server infrastructure and desktop infrastructure each in MCSE. So that's three certifications. That's 7 tests overall. Pretty much every single 6 days a week, I'm pretty much studying for that. And in between that, during the breaks, hopefully I can get back to the studying for my degree in metaphysical theology from International College of Metaphysical Theology.
You're just a glutton for punishment, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, actually. And funny enough is I did actually submit my last paper in the midst of all this studying, and I went, wow, that's kind of a lot to chew and digest. So I kind of had to pull the reins on that. And for the continuation of just podcasting in general, it's my much lower project. I don't want to say lower. I think I'm going to say this. It's actually just a smaller commitment of time, because really that's about all I can manage right now, which is the Minister Myself podcast. That comes out twice a month, exactly twice a month. And they're only 20 minutes episode twice a month. And every now and then I throw in like a 5-minute Minister Mini episode. And that's I'll have that links to that in the show notes. And I'm still continuing to do the Tarot of Manifestation blog that I release every Saturday or Sunday.
Ah, cool.
So that's been a consistent thing. I don't know what's going to happen when I get to blog number 78. We'll have to see. So I've been kind of wondering, well, what happens then? But then I'm like, stay in the moment. Just go with this.
We're going to do the whole deck again, and now with a complete reinterpretation from a different perspective.
Well, see, yeah, that's kind of hard to do because the Tarot of Manifestation is about manifestation, and each card is applicable to what does this card mean in reference to manifestation. So to revamp that, I mean, how many ways do you say this card means manifestation or it has this meaning when it comes to manifestation? I thought maybe I'll use a different deck, but then again, it's the similar meanings per across decks, so it's going to be, I don't know. I may just put it to rest once I hit all 78. I don't know yet. I think about it until the time comes.
Exactly, exactly. I was looking at it from a different perspective of, you know, maybe human perspective of Tarot of Manifestation might be relatively the same, but what if you do a reading for a dog or a cat or a horse or an animal? How would they perceive it?
What? A reading for a dog or a cat or a horse or an animal?
Yeah, would the interpretation for an animal from their perspective be different than, say, a human perspective?
Well, the whole thing about the Tarot of Manifestation is it employs tools.
Okay.
It's saying that basically, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to look at any of the entries, but each card, whenever I draw a card, what I do is I say, okay, what is the message in when we're employing and exercising the idea of manifesting our desired outcome? How does this card take that into account? So when I draw, for example, the last card I did was the star.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, if we take the meaning of the star in Tarot, how does that apply to manifestation?
Ah, okay.
So each of those entries say how that card or what the meaning of that card is interpreted in a manifestation sense.
I see. Okay, so yeah, maybe that idea I had probably would not work as well as I was thinking in my head.
Well, yeah, since we're not able to be, I don't know, what is that? The world's largest rodent. I was going to use that as an example, but it didn't roll off my tongue. a capybara, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
If I wanted to say, well, if you're a capybara, maybe this would make sense. But, you know, who's a capybara except a capybara?
Exactly.
And they're not reading blogs.
That we know of.
I'm kind of skeptical.
There may be an alien race that descended and evolved from a capybara that is reading every blog out there between the times that they're actually watching videos of cats on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, the videos of cats. I wonder if if that would be like food porn for Alf. I'm just saying. You actually made the Alf reference in the last episode, so maybe it's fresh in my mind from that.
You know, I forgot that I did that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you don't listen to our episodes. You're not a Take the Red Pill fan?
I am a Take the Red Pill fan, but I listen to them when I'm editing them.
Oh, I see.
So
I know what you're saying.
You know,
it's a different brain altogether.
Oh, I know. And there are times I do go back and I will listen to an episode, and maybe it's a little bit of egotism, or maybe it's just really good, or maybe it's a little bit of hubris and arrogance. I don't know. But I cannot listen to just 2 or 3 minutes of any episode. If I am going to open up an episode, for me, I have to, I'm like, this is going to be at least, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, because the conversation, you know, I'm just like, oh yeah, I remember. And yeah, that was good. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot that I forget that we said, and especially from something like 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, I'll hear a little piece and I'm like, oh wow, that was a really good point right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think that's hubris or arrogance personally, because anything that we're involved in that we like, sometimes humility is taken to too far of a degree, which I think is, hopefully it's a paradigm that's dissolving. I think sometimes we think we're supposed to be humble in all regards when we really don't need to be humble to the degree that we sometimes can be. In the case, I think it's great to take pride in something that anyone's either accomplished or been a part of that they think is good. I mean, how can we excel if we don't appreciate the very things that, you know, the accomplishments that we have?
Oh, yeah. And I feel the same way, and that's one of the things that has been one of the new things for me in the past year or two is, you know, breaking down that cultural, I guess it's kind of cultural idea of, you know, if you speak up and make yourself sound really important, then, you know, people aren't going to like it. they're all going to point their fingers at you and, you know, scowl at you in very nasty ways. And, you know, I've been getting to the point where it's just like, you know, that right there, that little piece, that was awesome. Or even with the sketch writing, I just finalized one of the sketches that I was doing. I listened to it, I'm like, that sounds really good. And then I waited a week so that it wouldn't be constant in my head, because, you know, if you've ever edited audio or practiced a song or, you know, of any kind of artistic type way, you get used to it after about the 50th time you've practiced it or heard it. And so, you know, I let it sit there for a week, week and a half, and come back to him like, wow, that sounds better than I thought it did. And I think we were talking about this a little bit before the episode is, you know, this whole idea of growth in the direction of where we're going. And for me, you know, I for a long time, I spent about a year and a half being obsessed with going to stand-up comedy clubs and performing and watching and just, you know, also taking in DVDs and YouTube videos and basically getting all this knowledge and experience with comedy to find out what was funny and what wasn't funny. Because, you know, back in the summer of 2011, you know, I attempted to start doing a voice acting thing, and I did a couple episodes or a couple pieces, you know, maybe I think 10, 15 minutes each, and I'd play them back, and I was like, well, they're okay, I guess, but even me, I mean, I was sitting there going, eh, they don't sound like I wanted them to sound. And so I took some time to figure out what was funny and what wasn't funny and really, you know, get into that whole idea of, you know, entertainment. And now the stuff that I've been writing, especially with my writing partner over the past 7 or 8 months, has been just extremely good, if I do say so myself. Right. And I think it's that whole self-growth, that whole, hey, you know, it was noticing I want to do this, I don't have the skill level that I want, so let's go out and find it. And I think a lot of people, when they get to that point where it's just like, yes, I'm good, but I'm not going to tell anybody about it because if I do, I'll get all this, you know, I'll get all this shaming and ridicule. I think, I can't remember, is it Kanye that's been doing it lately where he's saying, I'm a rap genius?
You know, I don't know. I could ask Jackie. She follows the celebrity stuff, but I'm clueless. I know he's kind of a self-marketer.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of people are harping on him about, you know, he's so arrogant and everything. Like, well, you know, he's done really well with, you know, his chosen field of artistry and even business and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I wouldn't say that he's the best of the best of that's ever been, but he's pretty damn good. That's what I was, the whole idea of, because we're talking about spirituality in a very loose term. And I think one of the things that spirituality does is allow one to grow, you know, allow self-growth, allow a progression from...
Well, what does that mean? I mean, let's talk about that for a second, because I was headed home, and I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to a podcast on my way home. This one's called Subconscious Mind Mastery. And he was talking about the balance of mental, spiritual, physical, and emotional bodies. There are those four bodies that we have. The funny thing about it is I recalled an episode, and I don't remember what the episode was, but it was an episode where we had talked about mental, physical, emotional, and then I think we threw in spiritual. So it led me to think, yeah, there is a component, and spiritual is one in and of itself. I mean, mental, emotional, and physical in the scientific left brain realm that we live in this society tends to be paramount, and then spiritual gets left off to the side because people equate spirituality with religion.
Yeah.
And so we need to kind of talk about what is spirituality. What does that mean?
Well, for me, it's very simple. It's your set of beliefs that let you know how to look at the world and perceive the world. It's kind of like an attitude on a higher level. It overlaps a bit with morality, but it also is kind of like your higher ideal above after you've taken care of your I'm talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, after you have your basic needs of food and shelter and stuff like that taken care of, then spirituality, it comes in where it encompasses, well, at least for me, the rest of your life, because through spirituality, you perceive the magical and the mundane. You make ideas and assumptions, and you have beliefs and attitudes that you place on things that happen in the magical and the mundane. For me, spirituality just encompasses all that. So the topics that we've talked about on Take the Red Pill, I see, I believe, probably 98% of them would fall in the category of my personal definition of spirituality.
Interesting.
Do you agree with that, or do you have kind of a different idea on spirituality?
No.
Just plain no.
No, that's my answer. No, actually, I do. I know what you're saying. I know that you're saying that spirituality kind of gives us a basis for which to move through our lives. And you use the word belief. And interestingly enough, I'm going to relate back to something I pointed out in the very last Tarot of Manifestation post.
Okay.
That I had written, that belief and faith are often seen as synonymous. And I don't think they're synonymous.
Ooh.
What I said in the post was that belief is of the mind and faith is of the heart.
Hmm.
And I thought about this when I was listening to this podcast, when he said spirituality. I said, well, what is spirituality? And why does it not tie into the mental and the emotional and the physical? Because spirituality is, I don't even think it's a belief. I don't think it's a belief at all, because the spirituality is what you accept as what is, what you accept as what life is. I think that is what spirituality is. Atheists are spiritual. They'll never tell you that. They wouldn't like that, but they're spiritual because they're founding the belief that we're just pretty much just automated organic material.
But that's a belief. That's still a belief.
It's not. Well, it is a belief. However, a belief is a fragile thing where just a state of, okay, let me do this.
Okay.
What I said was the difference between belief and faith is that, can you have belief without faith, and can you have faith without belief? A belief is a generated idea. It's an idea that resides in your head. I believe that there's a God, or I believe that there is no God, or I believe that there's something higher than ourselves. Faith is basically you move through based on an outcome that you expect will happen, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so if I understand what you're saying, belief is basically, you know, kind of like you have an idea of something, you know, of a higher power of God or whatever, and you're it's like, this is just the way things are. And faith is, I have no idea if this is how things are, but this is just what I'm going to believe because I haven't found anything better, or this just feels the strongest. This has the strongest pull for me.
It's the motivation behind everything. It's the purpose. For example, if somebody's wants to become a writer, and so they're writing and they're writing and they're writing, and you say, "Why do you write?" And they say, "Because I need to write. I need to write. Writing fills something in my soul, and whatever that is, that's the wellspring of that comes from the wellspring of spirituality, in my opinion.
Okay,
and that whatever it is, once we start putting labels on it, then what spirituality is actually becomes very elusive, in my opinion.
So spirituality, if we're looking at it for like, if I was describing David Deere's spirituality to somebody, it would be the core of who you are, of what you believe and your ideals. Would that be correct? Or is it something else? Because what I got when you said that example is a writer, whether they write or not. A storyteller is a storyteller, whether they're telling a story.
I don't agree with that, because if a writer doesn't write, then they're not a writer.
Even if they really want to write?
If they really want to write, that's all well and good. They're a person who wants to write.
Okay.
And then that's their spirituality, is wanting to write and never writing. So I think when I said the life purpose thing, when I say your purpose, what motivates you, it's why are you alive? That's the thing. And some people say, I'm alive because my parents procreated and they made this, and I'm just biding time by eating food and, you know, spitting it out the other end of my body. So that's that. And I said spit, by the way. This is a family show.
It is? Wow.
I don't know. I always put clean on the, whenever I publish the episodes and it says, you know, what kind of rating do you give it? I always give it clean, because we tend to keep it pretty clean.
Well, yeah. We're not here to offend.
It's something you can easily see on ABC TV, so the network.
I don't think a network would pick us up, man.
No,
maybe a radio show. I think, what is it? Bill Norrie has Coast to Coast?
Yes.
So,
no, George Norrie.
George Norrie. I got his last name correct, because that's just a cool last name.
Yeah, it is. Norrie. But so that's what I see it as, is what is my purpose for being alive? In other words, not my purpose, like, what am I destined to do? Not that. It's like, why am I alive? And if somebody says, you know, to serve God, their spirituality is kind of coming through there. If someone says, because I'm a bag of automated meat, their spirituality is coming through. If I'm here to change the world and make it a better place, or to improve life as we know it, or to have us all realize that we're all connected and just part of the divine, those are all aspects of spirituality. And those, in all those things, a person's going to make different choices in life on an overall life level. There's going to be a difference between an agnostic and a fundamental, I don't know, you know, Muslim. So, I mean, so the life choices are going to be significantly different. So I stand by that. That's for me. That's my definition.
Yeah. I think I'm still having difficulty getting to that point where, if I understand what you're saying correctly, it's more of spirituality is your purpose for being alive.
No, it's not your purpose. It's why you're alive. And I know that sounds like the same thing, but it's different to me.
Okay, so why you're alive. If I ended up saving somebody's life, would that be my spirituality of why I'm alive, is to save their life?
I don't think anybody's alive for one singular reason.
Okay. So multiple reasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a tapestry. To me, it's the spirituality is what is the tapestry that you're creating with your life? What is the canvas that you're painting through moving through this world as a corporeal being, as a human being?
Oh, so spirituality is dynamic.
Oh, absolutely.
So basically, if from what I just heard, is spirituality is whatever is wherever you are at that time in your life and what you're doing, what you're putting out to the world. Because you mentioned a few minutes earlier that there was an action aspect of putting something out there. Like a writer,
I would say whatever motivates you to put out to the world. Whatever's behind the actions you take. Whatever's behind that motivation.
What if you're one of these rare people that has absolutely no motivation to do anything, to share or to make a mark on the world whatsoever?
That's their spirituality.
So the act of inaction is also a matter of spirituality.
Well, yeah, because it's like when you abstain from making a choice, that's a choice you're making. It's the same idea.
Okay.
If you choose not to make a choice, you're still making a choice. If you choose not to take any action, then you're still taking the action of inaction, even though it sounds like a contradiction. It's maybe more in the what motivates the choice rather than the action. That's the word I needed to use.
Okay, I think I can grab onto that a little bit more, and I can digest that a little bit easier. Of it's the motivation for a choice, because there have been times in my life where I've been like, "Ooh, I want to do that. That would be so cool to do." And then, you know, I let it go, and then it's just like, you know, remember 2 or 3 years ago when I wanted to do that thing? Yeah, but I'm just not interested in it anymore. The moment has passed. Mm-hmm. And that's why for me, it's kind of like spirituality is the culmination of your ideals, your thoughts, your beliefs, your attitudes, everything mixed in together, expressing itself through you at this one moment in time, every moment.
Here's where I have trouble with what you're saying.
Okay.
Not that I think it's wrong, but I think it misses a component, because you said your thoughts, your beliefs, your attitudes. And two of those were, one was a mental aspect, and one was an emotional aspect, and then one kind of was right in between the two. But where is that kind of heart part of it? You know what I'm saying? It's like, what if somebody says to you, I believe, you know, this is my system of belief. I believe that everybody in the world should have something to eat. Mm-hmm. And they said, my spirituality is based around fulfilling everybody's basic needs and start with hunger. And they never did anything to give anybody food. Mm-hmm. Then it's just lip service. But if they find themselves, you know, I just go to the soup kitchen every week. Why? I just, it's just something I need to do.
I need a free meal of soup when I don't really need it.
Yeah.
that's probably the darker side of spirituality.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's dark sides to spirituality. There was from the Law of One podcast that I was listening today. Then this is the really esoteric stuff in the channeled material.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, he was, whatever the channeled source was, I think it's irrelevant, was talking about how there are different consciousnesses of people, and that some consciousnesses, when they are more negative, when they have a negative polarity or service to self, as it's also referred to, is that their motivation is to become as far removed from any acknowledgement of being from or part of source as possible. That they will lose themselves, that they're in their belief that they will, if they became one with source, that their sense of identity and their sense of who they are would be annihilated, and that's their fear. That is a spirituality.
Ah, okay. That makes a little bit more sense. Since this is kind of like our final episode, I kind of don't want to spend a whole episode on one topic. I kind of want to move around a little bit, if that's all right. And yeah. We have had a certain discussion/disagreement on a couple ideas through many episodes of of this whole project of Take the Red Pill. And I want to, I think to not bring it up in the final episode, we would be very remiss of, and totally wrong, and that is the topic of destiny and free will.
Okay.
I think destiny, we did the destiny episode way, way back. I think that was one of our first ones that we did, and then we did free will a little bit later. We had this disagreement where you and I were like, well, is there destiny or is there free will? Is there free will? Is there destiny? What's the difference? And so I'm curious, for this moment right here, at this time in this recording of this final episode, do you think that we have come to a consensus of something that that works with the idea of free will and destiny? Or is it still one of those things where it's like, we're just going to agree to disagree?
Well, it depends. Has your thoughts on it changed much?
Not a whole lot.
So, and you were pretty much a proponent of the idea that destiny is king.
Yes. Okay. And that we have free will within destiny. Kind of like the idea of you have free will within the road of your destiny. In other words, you may have 7 or 8 lanes of traffic on the interstate, and each one of those lanes is an experience of where your life is going, but your destiny is still to stay on that road, but you can move from one lane to the next. You know, one lane, you might be a doctor, or you move to the other lane, you might be an astronaut. You move to another lane, you might be a sea captain. But your free will is within that realm of your destiny on that road. And the core of who you are, your basic self, when you strip all the learning and everything away, your absolute personality is what will come through, and that determines where you're going to go. And so that's kind of my recap of how I see the whole free will and destiny. So is that one of the things where you still see a difference?
I've actually changed that, because I've chewed on this since we've had those discussions. I've chewed on that quite a bit. It always boils down to, oh, silly humans. Silly humans, you just don't understand. And I still don't understand, but it's what I get, but I don't get it.
Okay.
Which is that we're playing semantic games and we're talking about the exact same thing, but in our conversations, we seem to make them sound like they were different. There is no difference between destiny and free will. There is no difference at all.
Period. Okay.
In my opinion.
I think I understand what you're saying, but I think you're going to need to elaborate a little bit more.
Oh, not a problem. Well, the thing about the difference between destiny and free will, there isn't a difference because they are one and the same. We seem to think that one's counter to another. If we are destined to take a certain path, then how does free will really... You know, no matter how much we exercise our free will, we're still going to be on this destined path. So it seems that they're counter. Or if we have free will carte blanche, then how could there be a destiny there if pretty much everything just kind of comes out of events based on choices generated from free will? This is such a human perspective. That's the problem. It's like, it's the same problem in human perspective when someone says, okay, let's talk about eternity. And humans are like, no, everything has a beginning and an end. Well, yeah, to a human it does, but no, nothing has a beginning and an end. There's just constant change. And I think destiny and free will falls into the same camp, because when you look at destiny, it always implies a future, where free will implies just constant residing in the moment.
Ooh, so I like that.
That's the thing about it is when you start looking at the perspective of time, if there really isn't time, if time is an illusion, then really destiny and free will don't really make any sense as far as a true application. If everything is residing now, if there is only a now, then destiny is irrelevant. If there is a destiny, it is a destiny, but it's a moving target. That our destiny is created in the very moment that we make our decisions and our choices.
And how and do
we make I a different stuff. Choice? We make a different destiny.
Yeah, and right there, how do we make our decisions and choices? We make them from our perspective. Well, what's our perspective? Our perspective is a combination of a whole bunch of things, but when it boils down to, we have our basic human personality, our basic sense of, I'm going to leave it with just personality, because I'm looking at just the interests and the way and personality that we each have, that we make our decisions and ideas and perspectives from, which lead to our choices, which for me is our destiny, because it all comes from that one place of, you know, I am a certain way. If we take all the thing, all the, this is kind of what I was saying earlier. If we take the fears and everything that has been built up over the lifetime, and we go back to kind of a more innocent, like almost a baby, where we have a baby's personality. That personality, when we're just brand new and everything, is our core self.
You're using time references, though.
I know, but the thing is, we can't disregard time when we're talking about past, present, and future, because the moment that we're in right now and the moment that we're going to be in all have influence by our past and are going to influence our future.
Oh, silly human. Again, we're doing this thing where it's just like, well, you know, if time is an illusion, then this concept doesn't really have any teeth of destiny and free will.
But it is still a perception. But what about time?
What's that?
It is still a perception that we have time.
It's a perception, but that's all it is.
And
in other words, the more weight you give to that perception, the more weight is given to whatever you go by. If you're putting a lot of weight on the perception of time, then destiny automatically gets that weight by default. If you're saying, you know, really the place that we have all our power is in the moment, then destiny really doesn't have any power. Only the moment does. However, I think I know why you see my belief in why you have this perspective.
Yeah,
is that, and I know what you're trying to say about, you know, well, you've got this, you know, you're born into this specific set of, you know, environments and upbringings and past and all this other stuff. You're born with a template. It's a subset. It's a subset for a given set of experiences. I still believe that there is no set of experiences you're supposed to have. It's basically this. Okay, here are the rules. This is what you're given. This is what you're born with. Go. And then whatever you carve out, you carve out. However, you're still playing in the subset that has been given you. You're still playing with those basic rules.
And that, to me, is destiny.
That's not, well, we're going to agree to disagree. That's not destiny. It's just, it's the stack of the deck. It's like saying to me, it's like, well, you know what that's like saying to me? It's like saying, well, okay, you're given 52 cards in a deck of playing cards. Uh-huh. You're given 52 cards. And, well, we're playing poker and I came out with a full house. And you're like, well, that's destiny. And I'm like, why is that destiny? Well, because they put 4 suits and you're going to have 3 in one and 2 in the other. It was destined to happen. I'm like, it happened at that time, at that moment, at that place. And you're like, well, it's destined to. And to me, it's like, if you play poker forever, you will have a full house. So it's loosey-goosey, in my opinion.
Yes, and I agree with you. If you do play poker forever, you will occasionally have a full house. But like you said, when we bring time into it, it gets all kind of wibbly wobbly and stuff. And yes, that was a Doctor Who reference. And I know you love Doctor Who.
I have no idea about Doctor Who.
I know. And I want to be your friend still, but
well,
I just
let's hijack this topic, because we keep going back to time. We keep talking about time. So, and that was one of our, not only was it one of our most popular discussions between the two of us, we enjoyed going back to the concept of time and reality, those two always. You know those things that you see on blogs or whatever, where they have a cloud, a keyword cloud?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did one with all the songs I've written and the lyrics, and time is one of the big giant ones in the keyword cloud.
Oh, wow.
Because I constantly use the word time in lyrics here and there. But not in a take the red pill fashion. It was just more in a, you know, emo fashion. The kind of songwriter I was at the time. But time, yeah, we talked about a lot. So I think it's
I think that was one of our first 10 episodes. I think
it was. It might have been number 6 if I remember correctly.
You know, I think I might have that real quick. I'm gonna time episode 5.
Oh, episode 5. I was off. Mm.
Reality was episode 7.
So here's a question for you. Do you have a good sense of your perception of time?
I believe I have a good sense of my perception of time as I have learned to measure it through hours, minutes, and seconds, and days, and months, and years.
Do you feel like you're beholden to that? Do you think it's become a crutch or a hindrance? Has it limited your perceptual abilities by being so beholden to the clock, I put in big quotes?
I think there are times where it can be a hindrance, but there are times where time seems to not exist at all. And that's like in, especially like in meditation and stuff like that, where, or even when you're doing something that you're just really, really engaged in, and you remove any sense of clock or whatever that tells you or time, you blacken out the windows, you unplug all the clocks, you turn off your cell phone, you remove everything that tells you what time and day of day it is, and you get engaged in something, then I have to say that time is still happening moment to moment, but my perception of time becomes more skewed the longer that I'm in that area in that experience.
Okay.
So if I was in a meditation for like 3 days, I might come out and be like, "So that was a kind of a long couple of hours there," and people would be like, "Dude, you were out for half a week." I'm like, "Really? Wow." It's kind of like one of those things where the people that are still beholden to the clock would perceive my being outside of that clock for a temporary time as a long time of doing not a whole lot.
I believe a lot of time is based on kind of some of the laws of the universe as far as the rhythm and polarity goes. But I also believe that time is the our particular perception of time is based on the solar system, it's based on the planets, it's based on the Earth spinning, and it's also based on consensus reality by human beings.
Oh, I have to agree with that. I have to consensus reality. I think that may be the biggest selling point right there. It's just like of perception of time, because I think from the moment you're born, even actually before you're born, there's this whole idea of the thoughts and ideas of the people around you and of your mother, that if you believe that everybody is psychic and empathic to at least some degree, then even in the womb, I believe you're going to be picking up a little bit of this idea of time happening in a certain way. And then when you're born, you get trained to be to do things a certain way as well. It's like, oh, daylight, I want to be awake during daylight, or nighttime, I want to be asleep during nighttime, or I want to be asleep for, a set amount of time, and apparently mom and dad, or mom and mom, or dad and dad, depending on the family structure, think that the 2, 3 hours they name this span of time that I want to be asleep as 2 or 3 hours, and then I'm going to cry and wake up. So
Well,
I
I'm
think.
looking at more of the idea of time. When you talked about, well, we're physical creatures, so we're beholden to time in that way. Well, the more we believe that we are so physical creatures, the whole, I get, to be honest with you, I get tired of hearing it, even though I agree with it. We are spiritual creatures in a physical body. Let's hold it around and. I
I
sorry.
have issues with that too.
I agree with it to a degree, except I think that we are also physical. I think the both are the same. I think we've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
But nonetheless, we're so set on this, and I've said this before too, that we forget that when we have a daydream and remember something in the past, or we're future tripping and thinking about a life that's different, that we are actually in a different place and a different time, and mentally we're outside of our bodies. But what happens is we're getting magnetically sucked back to our physical bodies because that's just kind of, again, that's the subset that we've agreed to play in for the physical experience, for whatever arises out of it. But I do believe that our consciousness is so far beyond the physical. And if you think about it, when you're dreaming, you have these dreams that you seem like your 2, 3 days have gone by in a dream. And according to scientists that study the REM sleep and stuff, oh, well, you were dreaming for 10 minutes tops, maybe 5, maybe 2, Of course, that changes all the time. Who's to say if perception is reality and if perception has the biggest impact on what we become on a spiritual level, then this physical chain of time is, yeah, it's pretty valid, but it's not completely valid.
You said something there that's kind of interesting. I know that you're bringing back the whole spirituality discussion that we were having a little bit earlier. Is it possible to be spiritual without any perception?
Probably. I don't know. we're basing perception on what we're gathering through our physical senses. Perception is basically what we gather and the information we gather through our senses, and then what we make of that information. That's perception.
Yeah, so these beings and entities that are channeled where they don't have a physical body, their perception is a little bit different, but would they be considered spiritual, or just because they don't have a physical body and they're talking through somebody who does?
Well, they're nothing but spiritual if they don't have a physical body, because we've seemed to polarize physical and spiritual. We seem to say, well, there's spiritual and there's physical. Well, if there's no physical, then it's all spiritual, isn't it?
Oh, I think this is where one of the semantics that we were getting hung up on is, because the definition of the word spiritual, I look at it as solely a personal idea or experience or perception or belief system, whereas the word spiritual can also relate to a non-corporeal being, somebody that doesn't have a body. I normally, in my vocabulary, I normally just call those etheric or different vibration, or I normally use etheric most of the time to say they're not necessarily spiritual, but they don't have a physical body.
Okay.
Because if you look into the whole idea of possession and Ajna boards, if you're talking about negative entities, and we've done a couple episodes with those, would you say that negative entities are also spiritual in a dark way?
Well, sure.
See, and I have difficulty with that, because I think, from my perception, and this is just me personally, I've spent so much time, looking into the light, that my perception is mostly light. And so, well, it's very difficult for me to see into the dark.
But here's the thing about that, and that's the light workers and the way showers and da 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 da. If you think about it, light can burn things, for one.
Yes.
So light is, we always try to make light the all good thing and all la la la. However, if all is from source, if we use the word source, I'm going to use that word. That's my word. Source.
That's a good word.
And I love that word. That source. If source and all are equivalent, and light is not source, light is from source. But in order for light to be able to be light, there has to be dark to be able to give it definition.
To show contrast.
So, and yet we sit here and poo-poo dark all the time. And one of the podcasts, and I don't remember which one, and it's probably the Law of One podcast. Actually, I don't think it is. It's one of the podcasts I listen to. One of the statements was made is that we often forget that those things that we think are negative and those things that we think are dark is basically source finding its own way. It's a different way and it's a different path, but it is a valid path based on the fact that it is from source. And I was thinking about this the other day, because I was like, people sit there and say, well, humanity's destroying humanity. Da, 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 da. We're just bad, bad people, bad. I'm not about destroying humanity or any of that other stuff. But then I thought, okay, let's look out into the galaxy and let's look at the star go supernova that takes out like a dozen stars that are around it. Is that a bad guy star? Is the supernova star just like being evil because it destroyed maybe civilizations, budding, beautiful, rich civilizations of life that were around that star? So did that make it a bad star? Or is that just our perception, that destruction is bad and preservation and proliferation is good? So again, that's why I said, that's why I'm using that example about, the dark is, we got to stay away from the dark. It's just personal choice at that point.
Oh, I didn't say anything about staying away from the dark, just that, for me personally, I'm one of those people that I've trained myself so much to be looking over here at where the source of light is coming from, that it takes a lot more to look over where the shadows are.
Have you ever had a dark night of the soul?
Oh yeah, a couple times.
Have you been beautifully enriched by that experience?
Exactly. Yes, I have.
Well, there you go. So, you know.
And I'm not saying darkness is evil. I'm not saying it's bad, but I still have a difficult time looking at what you'd consider what most people would call demons and saying that they're spiritual. To me, the definitions in my brain of those two things don't mesh.
Well, that's because it's your perception of what you find, you know, attractive in a concept of spirituality. And I'm saying that spirituality is, of all things, source and the recognition and acknowledge of it. And however, that could be contrast if I say, you know, by your definition, I could see by what I just said how the dark entities or whatever you want to call them would be counter to spirituality if their whole goal is to remove themselves from source or to try to extricate themselves from source. However, that's acknowledgement of source in its own backwards way.
Oh yeah.
So it's spiritual because the dark does come from source.
I look at it this way. I'm going to go back a little bit and combine these two pieces together where, why am I so drawn to the light as opposed to being drawn to the dark? Because, you know, I have the ability, I have the choice within me to disconnect myself further and further from source, or to connect myself more and more to source. So why would I, if you had to break it down to its bare minimum ideas, why have I chosen to become closer and closer to source when I could go either way?
See, you're not becoming closer to source. All you're doing is acknowledging more and more that you're of source, because you can't really get closer to source. Source is source. You can't get closer to it. You can only acknowledge.
A horse is a source, of course.
That's what it is. It's, in my belief, is that it's if all things are of source, you don't get closer to it because you are of source. So how do you get closer to it? You know what I'm saying? It's like it's just one of those things. It is or it isn't. And there's nothing that's not of source. Everything is of source. What you're doing is you're accepting and acknowledging that aspect, that you are of source, and you choose to accept and acknowledge and live your life with that in mind. That's your spirituality.
And part of that spirituality is a perception that I'm moving closer and closer to source as opposed to farther and farther away. And I see what you're saying with, you know, it's like a candlelight can't move closer to candlelight because it's all candlelight already.
Right.
So, but to me, I have this perception of the candle being 10 feet away, the candle being 5 feet away, and the light that it shines, the light that is closer to the candle seems to be brighter. I mean, I can read a book in a candlelight if I'm right up by the candle, as opposed to trying to read the book if I'm 10, 15 feet away and the light is barely visible and I can't make out the letters in the book. When I say that getting closer to spirituality, or I'm sorry, moving more and more closer to light as opposed to the dark, that's what I'm saying, is getting to a point where my perception is more and more in seeing of the light, seeing of the things that are bright, as opposed to seeing the shadows and seeing of the dark and stuff like that. And so to me, that is a movement there. There is a constant choice to, you know, walk closer to the candle or walk further away from the candle. And it was kind of interesting because I was talking to my mentor, Jan, I think it was about a month ago now, and we were having a conversation on, you know, this whole idea of good and evil, light and dark and stuff like that. One of the things that was said was that maybe the reason that Buddhist monks go for the middle path, where they don't move totally to the light or totally to the dark, where they stay kind of neutral, is because the more that you move to the light, the more contrast you're able to see when the dark comes. And if you're able to see more dark, then your perception, your attention, your awareness can be there. And the idea is that the more you see dark, the more focused you are on that, and the more you attract it to you. You know, it's kind of like I spent a few years as a practicing pagan before I really became an energy healer. And one of the things that pagans are really big on is, like, you know, psychic vampires, you know, you need to energetically shield yourself. Well, yeah, that's okay and that's good. But what that's doing in this sense that I'm talking about is that saying there's stuff that's coming after you, you have to protect yourself. And from a Buddhist perspective, from what I understand of the conversation that Jan and I were having, is that stuff is happening. And when we say that something is coming after us and we need to protect ourselves, that means danger is always around us. Where from a Buddhist perspective, it's like life is all around us. And it's going to happen one way or another. And if you stay in that middle path, you're not attracting light and you're not attracting dark. You're just attracting life.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
So we don't talk that often, but when we do talk, we talk for a number of hours, and it's just like, it's like you and I when we talk, you know, we'll record for an hour and be like, all right, that was cool.
Yeah.
So, but I guess it's kind of time to start wrapping up the final episode.
Yeah. What I want to do is, here are some of my final thoughts. It's really more just about the whole project. It's been a great 85 episodes. It's been a great 3.5 years. I've really had a lot of fun with it. And it's really stretched my mind. And it's been interesting seeing people come on Facebook and say how much they've enjoyed the episodes and how much they really like the project. And it's been great to know that there are a lot of people out there that have the same similar way of thinking or like to have their mind stretched. Whether or not they agree or not doesn't matter. It's that they like to have their mind stretched and play with ideas of what reality is beyond what is just given to us just kind of by day-to-day living and pure survival.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I think for me, and I've said this in episodes before, it took me, I think this, the whole idea of you approaching me and saying, hey, Donald, do you want to do a podcast? And, you know, I've mentioned this before. It's like, nobody wants to listen to two guys blabbering about stuff for an hour or whatever. And apparently they do. And for me, it was kind of a big deal that I realized after a few episodes, it's like, I've been attempting to write all the knowledge and ideas and thoughts and beliefs and understandings in my head that I've been studying for, you know, 20 plus odd years, and the words would not go from very well from my head to the paper. What I found with this project is that having somebody to play off ideas with, and especially somebody as good as you that is well read, well understood, and rather challenging in some places, which is good, to play off my ideas actually cemented a lot of ideas, and that I was still getting that all these thoughts and ideas from that I've been trying to put on paper out into the world, and it's getting out into the world in one way regardless of the format. And I think for me, that's one of the biggest things that I'm most proud of with the project. And of course, I got to hang out with a good friend every couple of weeks.
That's right, yeah.
And have really mind-stretching conversations that, it's like, because I'll tell you, David, there were times, actually there were a lot of times where I was like, yeah, I've this whole idea, this whole topic that we're talking about now, yeah, I've spent a number of years meditating on that. I have a pretty good idea of what I believe, and to me, it's pretty much true. And then you'd come around and be like, what about this? I'm like, I hadn't really considered that.
Maybe I was just being contrary, just to be contrary.
But the thing is, it was good. It was good because I thought there was a lot of what I'd mentioned earlier. You know, sometimes I do get a little arrogant, And I thought I'd gotten to a place where it's like, you want to know anything spiritual? Let me, I can, I'm your person. I know I've studied this stuff when people were going to college and getting jobs and starting families. I was sitting there studying metaphysical type stuff. And then you challenge me with something that's like, oh, this just makes it even more cemented. It has even a better way to do it. So, yeah,
I think the opposite's happened for me.
Oh, really?
My beliefs are less cemented. I mean, there's just a few of them that I really hold on to pretty strongly. But I think a lot of the stuff is kind of minutiae. And I've listened back on episodes and heard myself contradict myself. I defended a point just very vehemently. And a few episodes later, I defended a point very vehemently that was the exact opposite of the previous point I defended vehemently. So I found that in that I found the interesting part is that in very Gemini fashion, it brought me to acknowledge that I do have the ability to see different sides and opposite sides almost. So things that I was really holding on to, I realized, well, they're only my truths just because I've adopted them, not because that they are truths. So that's all they are, just personal truths, where the greater truths are so elusive, and then no one individual can hold on to them and claim them for everybody. They can only hold on to them and claim them for themselves. But the opposite is it's entirely valid.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that was kind of my takeaway from a lot of the stuff that we discussed and went through.
Oh yeah, and we've done episodes where we went over and like, what's your best episode? What's your favorite episode? And I think we're going to just do a real quick for the whole project. Is there one episode that stands out more than any other for you? Maybe not your best, or maybe not the what you'd consider the worst, but the one that stands out the most.
I don't have one that comes to mind. I mean, I remember some episodes where I felt like we just kind of got way out there, like non-linear creation theory. And I remember a couple of time episodes where I felt like time had kind of twisted in on itself as we were discussing. So it was kind of the experience I was having during the episodes. But that was really what was of note to me more, my personal experience while recording it, which was where I really kind of left my body in a way. But as far as favorites or standouts, I think they're all have their own interesting merit. I can't say that one stands out above. I mean, it sounds like a cop-out answer, but I can't say that because they all have their own interesting indelible mark.
Yeah. And I feel the same way with, if we take it with just the episodes, like a full episode, it would be difficult for me to have, say, oh, this is the one I'm like the most proud of, because there were so many experiences in each episode that you can't really put together. Now, a lot of things that do stand out is some of the ideas and things and just the quick one-liners that we came up with.
No.
It still blows my mind every time. It's like, what is the line that David Deere will not cross?
Oh, I will not eat a baby.
Exactly. And then, of course, the whole, when we were doing the Mayan episode, I loved that whole idea of, maybe, can you imagine little Mayan kids going door to door selling calendars, get them before they're gone?
Oh, yeah, that was actually pretty good.
I mean, those types of one-liners. And then probably one of the biggest ones that really just blew me away is we were trying to find that moment when you shift from fear to love. And you had said something where it's not a matter of shifting from fear to love, it's a matter of loving something more than you fear.
Oh.
That's still one of the big aha moments that came from one of the episodes where it's just like, whoa, that just changes my whole perception on life.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of a big thing. And before we finally close out, we have to say a big shout out to the guests that we've had.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Chessie Roberts, we talked with her on karma and manifestation, and she was just fun. And then we went to Lisa Clark on what, you know, with what is energy? We talked about energy healing, and, you know, she's like, this is energy. And we're like, we have an idea. We're interested more in what you have to say.
And how many guests do we have total, by the way?
On per episode, we had 6 guests, but one was a duo, Debbie and Sean.
Okay.
So if we count them as one guest, then
yeah, count them as one guest.
It'd be 6. But if we count them as separate, then it'd be 7.
So we've got Chessie Roberts, Lisa Clark,
Darcy Hawkins, when she talking about following your intuition, and then we, of course, you know, Debbie and Sean. We were talking about twin flames. Mm-hmm. You know, because they are, you know, they really experience the whole idea of what and express what a twin flame is, in my opinion. And then some of the more recent ones we've had is Derek Gales talked to us about his whole spiritual thing that he's working on called the Crystal Path. And I've heard about that for years, and it was really good to have him on the show, because we actually, I think I learned more about exactly what the Crystal Path is in that episode than I have in the years that I've known him. So it was really cool. And then, of course, our last episode, we had Paul on, and we were talking about multiple timelines, multiple lives, and all that other good stuff. So me personally, and I think you feel the same way, our guests were really awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoyed our guests. I'm appreciative for all of them for giving us their time, for giving us their wisdom, their knowledge. Some great conversation. I'm actually also really appreciative of the hosters of this podcast, of Libsyn. They're fantastic. Libsyn is they're just fantastic to me. They're great with marketing. They really champion their producers. They will actually go out of their way to promote their producers, and they've done that with sound bites that we've left for them on various projects and stuff like that. So shout out to Libsyn all the way. And, you know, to me, there's two very significant people that I want to thank too for this project. First of all, of course, is you, Donald.
Oh, thank
for
you.
Joining in on it. I was, you know, you took a chance. You came on board. You said, you know, let's see what happens. And we made a fantastic and wonderful and fun and beautiful project out of it. And of course, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. I have Jackie to thank for supporting me in this project, and for believing that we can make something fantastic as we've done with this, and for carving out a piece of time for us to get together and do this and make this fantastic experience that we've made. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I want to thank you for, you know, not taking me saying no the first time and the second time, and still, you know, bringing up the idea of, hey, Donald, you want to do a podcast? I'm like, no. Hey, Donald, you want to do a podcast? No. Hey, Donald, you want to do a podcast? Okay, fine.
Yeah, I knew you did.
And exactly. And the thing is, I admit, I want to, you know, I was letting my stubbornness get in there, and, you know, I'm so glad that you, you know, kept bringing it up every so often of just like, hey, it might be fun to do. Yeah. Because the experience that I personally have had with this project has been immeasurable.
Yeah.
Totally and completely immeasurable.
And of course, we have to thank all of you guys for listening to this project. We really appreciate you giving us your time.
Definitely.
Giving us your ears and being involved with this project, because without you, the listeners, this definitely wouldn't be what it is today. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Have we left anybody out? Is there anybody else?
I think that's it.
I hope so. If we have by any chance left anybody out, we really, really apologize. We're a little emotional at the moment, because, you know, this is something that David and I have put our heart and souls in for 3.5 years. If we haven't got you, we apologize from the bottom of our hearts. With that, for the last time, I'm Donald Dalton, wishing you to have an amazing life, and hope that this project of Take the Red Pill has brought you what you were looking for.
And I'm David Deere. Remember, there is way more to reality than the reality that we perceive. keep on looking, keep on believing, and keep an open mind.